Hare Krishna. We sincerely welcome you to Radha Gopinath Sunday Festival. There is a story within our Vaishnava history . Lord Chaitanya on this day approached Sri Nityananda Prabhu with heartbreaking news. The Lord said, O Nityananda, tomorrow, on the day of Makara Sankranti, I will leave my home and become a sannyasi. I will leave behind my mother, my wife, and all of my possessions, and travel to Katwa, Kantaka Nagar, where there is a great sannyasi of the name Keshav Bharati. There, for the purpose of reaching out to those who are antagonistic to the true principles of religion, I will begin the life of one who begs from door to door. Tell five people and no one else. My mother, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda Dutt, Brahmananda, and Chandrasekhar Acharya. Speak this to no one else. Nityananda Prabhu's heart shattered. He understood that the Lord was independent and there was nothing could stop him from his passion to show compassion to the fallen souls. The events that led up to this day were very interesting. Lord Chaitanya, he was, along with his associates, constantly performing Harinam Sankirtan, giving the perfection of life, Krishna consciousness, prema bhakti, to everyone for the simple price of their willingness to accept it. But there were those persons who, due to false pride, they refused to accept the gift that the Supreme Lord had descended from Vaikuntha to give them. So by the arrangement of the Lord, a mysterious pastime took place. Nimai Pandit, or Lord Gorsundar, was in the mood of meditation on Vrindavan. And in great ecstatic devotion, loudly chanted the names of the gopis. Gopi, gopi, gopi. One Brahmin, who was a learned scholar and was previously a classmate of Lord Chaitanya when he was in school, he approached the Lord. "This is not recognized in our Vedic scriptures, the chanting gopi gopi. If you want deliverance, you should chant the name of Krishna. What will the chanting gopi gopi do for you?" The Lord was in such a mood, meditating on the separation of the gopi's love for Krishna, that he cried out, "You tell me to chant the name of Krishna, that plunderer? What will I gain? Bali, noble monkey chief. He shot him in the back with an arrow and killed him. And then a woman approached him and he cut off her nose. And then he appeared as a beggar to beg charity from Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had, and then he arrested him and punished him and sent him down to hell. What will I gain by worshiping Krishna? Get out from here." He picked up a stick and ran toward that Brahmin boy, and the Brahmin boy ran away. And he could not understand the very sweet, intimate mood of the Lord's love. So he approached an assembly of other Brahmin pundit students and teachers. "You won't believe what just happened to me. That Nimai, he was chanting gopi. I told him to chant Krishna according to Shastras. He started blaspheming Krishna with such words I cannot repeat to you. And then he picked up a stick to beat me. I had to run. Who does he think he is?" They all started saying, "What? He thinks he's such a great person. He's the son of Jagannath Mishra. Well, our fathers are also great Brahmin pundits. He thinks he's so intelligent because he could recite so many slokas. How many slokas do we know? We're also Brahmins. What power does he have to punish us? We have all the tejas, the powers of Brahmins too. Who is he? Who is he to treat us in an inferior way? If ever he does anything of this sort again, we will punish him." And they began to circulate bad rumors against the Lord. The Lord approached Nityananda Prabhu. He said, "Nityananda Prabhu, we have descended from the spiritual world of Vaikuntha to this world. To distribute the medicine that will cure them of the disease of ignorance. I have come with Pipaladi Kanda to eliminate the excess phlegm. But I see that as a result of my coming, the phlegm is increasing. I came to deliver the most fallen, everyone, without discrimination, from the clutches of material bondage and suffering, and give them the highest bliss of the love of the spiritual world. But my incarnation is having an opposite effect. There are people who are escaping the net of my mercy. And due to their misunderstanding of me, they are blaspheming me. And thus, the noose of material bondage is becoming tighter and tighter and tighter around them. Why? Because I'm a householder. they see me just like they see themselves. They just take me to be someone ordinary. And now they're criticizing me. But if I take sannyas Nityananda Prabhu, then they will no longer think that I'm like them. Because no one criticizes a sannyasi. But rather, when they see me, they will bow down before me. And when they bow down before me, they will be released of all the bondage of karma and attain the liberated state. And I will be able to give them love of Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu, we have descended for this purpose and you know that well. I must do it. I ask you to give me your permission and blessings. Please do not interfere with my desire. Give me your permission. Nityananda Prabhu's heart shattered in unlimited pieces. For a moment, he was speechless. But he had to speak something. Delirious, he said, "My Lord, you are supremely independent. Whatever is your will, you must carry out, and it is for the welfare of all living beings. I have no power to stop you. I am your servant. However, my one request, please discuss your desire with the Vaishnavas and hear their opinions also." Lord Chaitanya took that as Nityananda Prabhu's full-fledged, heartfelt permission and embraced him jubilantly and left that place. Nityananda Prabhu's limbs were trembling. Tears were flowing from his eyes as he was thinking of Sachi Mata, the Lord's mother. She was a widow. Every time he remembered Sachi Mata and considered the inconceivable suffering she would endure when her heart cracked in pain, grieving over the loss of her son, who was her life, her soul, her everything. Nityananda Prabhu, with these thoughts, had to retreat from all, from everybody. Hide in a secluded place and simply weep. The Lord went to Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt was so happy to see Lord Gauranga coming to visit his home. And Lord Chaitanya, smiling blissfully, said, "Mukunda, perform Nam Sankirtan, chant the holy names of Krishna." And Mukunda Dutt began to chant, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance. And Lord Chaitanya held his hand and said blissfully, he said, "Very soon I'm going to leave my wife and my mother and my home in Navadweep, and I'm going to take sannyas to become a beggar and beg the people of this world to accept Krishna Prema through Krishna Nam." Mukunda Dutt was paralyzed by hearing this. He was thinking, "You're going to cut your beautiful, long, lavish black hair? You're going to wear the drab saffron robes of a sannyasi? You're going to leave all of us?" It's a serious story. saddest part. You're all laughing. Technology has so many variegatednesses. Unbelievable. Sounded like a kirtan at Gopal's fun school. So, Mukunda Dutt said, "My Lord, you are independent. Whatever you must do, you do. Nothing, no one can stop you." Then the Lord happily embraced him and went to Gadadhar Pandit's place. He said, "Oh, Gadadhar! Gadadhar, oh my Lord." He was so happy to be reunited. He said, "Very soon, to reach out to the hearts of the sinful people of this age of Kali, I'm going to leave my home, carry a beggar's pot, kamandalu and danda, and take sannyas. And I'll shave my head and my sika." "What is your opinion, Gadadhar?" Gadadhar Pandit began to cry. "So, why? Where in the scripture does it say that a grihastha like you, at such a young age, 24, has to leave his widowed mother and 16-year-old wife to take sannyas? Where does it say like this? What kind of religious principle is this? The first thing that you will accomplish if you do this is you will cause the death of your poor, loving mother. She will not be able to survive. Is that your idea of religion? Killing your own mother?" "You are the Supreme Lord. You are independent. You can do whatever you like. But I have given you my opinion." The Lord accepted that as his permission and blissfully went on his way. Meanwhile, the news started spreading throughout the devotee community that Lord Chaitanya was considering taking sannyas. It was unbearable. That magnificent, fragrant, beautiful hair shaved off. Leaving Navadweep to live in forests? Will we ever see him again? It was a pain that was too difficult to bear. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would meet the devotees, and when he saw that they were in that condition, he would inspire them to perform Nam Sankirtan. He would dance. And seeing that beautiful dance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being inundated by the waves of love of God, they loudly, loudly raised their arms and chanted the holy name. In this way, the Lord, by his divine potency, caused them to forget that he was talking about taking sannyas. In the incredible happiness of chanting and dancing together with him day and night. But then this day came, where Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda, "Tomorrow, on the day of Makara Sankranti, when the sun begins its travel in the northern direction, I will leave my home, go to Kantaka Nagar, and from the great Kesha Bharati, I will take the vows of a sannyasi. That day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went home, took prasad, went to the bank of the Ganga, offered his prayers, took his bath, saw the beauty of Ganga Devi, returned home. And somehow or other, without knowing that this would be the last day of the Lord in Navadvip, all the devotees had a inspiration to go to the Lord's house to bring him gifts. Throughout the rest of the day, devotee after devotee after devotee was coming with garlands. They put it on the Lord's neck, and the Lord would take it off and put it on their neck and embrace them. Like a magnet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted everyone's hearts, and they didn't know why. It was a great festival. Devotee after devotee after devotee were coming, reciprocating such love with the Lord, exchanging gifts with the Lord. And the Lord wanted to give his last message to them, embracing them, holding their hands, offering them garlands. So intimately the Lord spoke, said, in all circumstances, my brothers and sisters, in all circumstances, glorify Krishna. Worship Krishna. Chant the holy names of Krishna. No one else but Krishna. Krishna is your mother. He's your father. He's your very life and soul. He's the treasure of all treasures. Never forget Krishna. Whatever you may do, whether you're eating or walking or sleeping or awake, constantly remember Krishna by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Every moment of life is so precious. Do not waste a second in forgetfulness of Krishna. If you love me, you will constantly chant Krishna's name and always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This was Lord Chaitanya's eternal message. If we love him, we will show our love for him by striving to constantly remember Krishna. Be immersed in Krishna consciousness. Devotees were jubilant. They didn't know that this was his farewell speech. Night came, and still more and more people were coming, bringing garlands, and he was giving garlands and exchanging nothing but Krishna Katha. But as it was becoming quite late, one more devotee arrived. Kolaveta Sridhar. He was carrying a pumpkin that grew from the thatched roof of his hut. He presented it to the Lord. When the Lord saw Kolaveta Sridhar offering a pumpkin, his heart melted. Here was that man, so poor, in such a state of material poverty, that his house was just a worthless shack. He had no possessions or furnishings except an old iron water pot. His clothes were rags. But yet he was so benevolent. His only desire was to serve the Lord and serve the devotees. He wanted nothing for himself. And the Lord remembered back in those days when he was younger that he would daily harass and argue with Kulaveta Sridhar for 2-3 hours every day. And even though he was so poor, he would debate with him and give him half the money, half the price that his bananas and banana roots and banana leaves were worth. And sometimes if he saw a really good fruit, he would just snatch it and steal it and give him nothing. He was remembering those days. How many fruits I stole from Kulaveta Sridhar. And now, after all that, on my last day here, he's coming to give me this beautiful pumpkin. How many of you want to give the best thing you have to someone who's been stealing from you for so many years? This is pure bhakti. And he was thinking, I'm going to leave tomorrow early morning. Now it's already late night. I must honor the offering of love of Kulaveta Sridhar. So he gave the pumpkin to Sachimata. Although it was very late, he said, please make a preparation with this. Sachimata was wondering what to make with this pumpkin. And at that moment, someone came to the door and offered some milk. Lord Chaitanya said, make sweet rice, pumpkin sweet rice, kheer. Sachimata went and prepared pumpkin kheer. And late at night, by the Lord's own sweet arrangement, that was the last meal he took in Sri Navadvip as a grihastha. The fruit of Kulaveta Sridhar's love, prepared by the loving hands of his mother, Sachi Devi. Just some days previous to this, Sachimata had heard that the Lord was going to take sannyas. She approached him. Actually, what happened is when she heard it, she fell to the ground, unconscious. But even though she was unconscious, rivers of tears were pouring from her eyes. Lord Chaitanya was looking at her, and his heart was melting with affection. When she came to consciousness, she inquired from him, is what I'm hearing true? You're going to leave us to live the hard, difficult life of a sannyasi? My son, your face is like the luminous full moon. Your eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower. Your lips are shining red like polished rubies. Your teeth are like jasmine flowers. Your hair is like elegant silk. How could I live without seeing you? How cruel is providence? my eldest son, Vishwaroop, who I loved with all my heart, at a young age, he rejected me and took sannyas, and I never saw him again. Soon after that, my husband, your father, he left this world to enter into the eternal abode of the Lord. I am poor and I am old. The only solace I have to protect me from miseries is seeing your beautiful lotus-like face. How will I survive? Is this religion? Causing the death of your own mother, who has nothing but you, who's given everything only for you? You have Nityananda and Gadadhar and Advaita and Srivas and so many devotees. They love you. You love them. Just be happy. Stay home. All day, all night, all you have to do is just Nam Sankirtan. Why do you want to leave us? The Lord spoke. He said, please know, I will never leave you. You are my eternal mother. Previously, your name was Prishni, and I became your son, Prishni Garbha. And in my next incarnation, you were Aditi, and I took birth as your child, Vamanadev. And I became Kapila, and you were my mother, Devahuti. And then in Ayodhya, you appeared again as Kaushalya, and I was your beloved son, Sri Ram. And then in Mathura, in that dungeon of the prison of Kamsa, you were Devaki, and I appeared as your son, Krishna. And now in this incarnation, you again have become my mother and I am your child. We can never be separated. I am eternally your child and you are eternally my mother. In remembering me, you will always feel my divine presence. Have no sorrows. Satchimata was a little bit pacified at that time. But that night, Satchimata presented to the Lord the sweet rice with Kolavecha Sridhar pumpkin. The Lord ate it with great satisfaction. And then retired to rest. Vishnupriya assented. She sensed what the Lord was going to do. She heard the rumors. And she inquired, will you do this? How can I bear thinking of you as a sannyasi? It's such a hard life. Wandering here and there. So many austerities. Becoming a beggar. What about me? What about your mother? How will we survive? What have we done? According to the authorities, she was between 14 and 16 years old. She was pleading with the Lord. But the Lord explained to her the nature of this world. All relationships must come to an end. The soul takes birth in a particular material body, and there are so much sufferings that have to come with body. We grow from childhood to youth, then eventually we have to grow to old age, and then we must die. And in this span of a lifetime, where there's constant transformations, our relationships with our relatives and our friends, they must end. The only thing that's real is our relationship with God. The only thing that's true is the sharing our relationship with God with each other. That is eternal. So just fix your mind and your heart on Lord Krishna. And whenever you remember me, I will be with you. That is my promise. But I have descended into this world to deliver the most fallen souls. And the Lord had already stated, so many of the people, by blaspheming him, taking him to be an ordinary person, were becoming more incriminated in the sufferings of karma. I've come to deliver them. I must be free to do so. Vishnupriya, tears filling her heart, expressed her unconditional surrender when she spoke and said, "My Lord, myself or no one else should impede your mission of compassion. If this is your will, I will not stand in your way. Then it is my will as well." Willing to endure such pain to assist the mission of the Lord. By the Lord's grace, Yoga Nidra, everyone fell asleep, including Vishnupriya. It was now about 2 hours before the sunrise, and the Lord got up from his bed and walked out the door. But at the front door, there was one person that could not sleep. Yoga Nidra had no power over her. That was Sachimata. She was sitting right in front of the door, crying, knowing that that night or that morning the Lord would leave home and she may never see him again. The Lord saw her. Tears streamed. She could not speak a word. She simply gazed at the beautiful form of Gauranga. The Lord's heart melted, and he spoke with such affection. He said, "My dearest, most beloved mother, my body is your property. All my life you have nourished me with love and devotion. Whatever I have, you have given me. There was no hardship, no difficulty, too difficult to bear for you to give me pleasure. Throughout all my years of my life, you have always been there for me. You never once thought of your own pleasures. You only thought of me. How you fed me. How you arranged for my education. How you showered me with so much affection. I can never forget. I can never repay you. I am forever in debt to you. But please know that I must do what I'm doing. By the power of Krishna's will, destiny unfolds. We are all controlled by that will of Krishna. And therefore, we must be prepared to be separated. But I can never repay you. And whenever you remember me, I will be with you in your heart. The Lord put his hand across his heart and promised that I will provide for you, I will protect you, and I will be there for you always. Then the Lord asked her permission. She was speechless, like a statue. But by the Lord's will, her head nodded, giving her permission. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all the worlds, in the role of a devotee, bent down, took the dust from the feet of Sachi Mata and rubbed it on the top of his head. Circumambulated her several times and left home. Sachimata, like a piece of wood, just sat. The Lord, on this day of Makara Sankranti, he swam across the Ganges, and then soaking wet and no change of clothes, he walked the 25 miles along the river to Katwa. Meanwhile, early that next morning, just around the time of sunrise, all the devotees came to greet the Lord. When they came, they saw sitting at the doorway was Sachi Mata, like a statue, crying. What is it? They didn't know. They bowed down to her and asked, what is it? Where is Gauranga? Where is your child? Where is your son? Somehow or other, after a long time, she spoke to them. She said, the property of Vishnu belongs to the Vaishnavas. You are all his devotees. So therefore, this house and everything in it is now yours. I have no rights to it. And it's too painful for me to ever go inside again because my son has left to accept the renounced order of life. When they heard that, the devotees fell to the ground, rolling and crying. They could not bear. After a long time, somehow or other, they all sat in a circle around Sachi Mata to try to pacify her. By doing what the Lord instructed them to do, to glorify Krishna, speak about Krishna, worship Krishna, and chant Krishna's holy names. Because the Lord promised, whenever you're chanting Krishna's names, I will always be with you. Should I continue? They didn't know what to do. People of Navadvip, gradually the news started spreading. Not gradually, quickly, like wildfire. That Nimai has taken sannyas. And something miraculous happened. Even those proud pundits who criticized him, even the atheistic demons who hated him, when they heard that he left home to take sannyas, it was unbearable to them. We'll never see him again. We'll never see that beautiful personality with arms that stand below his knees. Even though they were criticizing him, they didn't realize they were helplessly attracted to him. But when he left, they realized it. They all started crying, weeping. We didn't know what we had. We had the greatest treasure, but we considered him to be something ordinary, and now he's gone. And we have lost. Our life is wasted. That great Nimai Pandit, who delivered the most wicked sinners of Jagai and Madhai, who transformed and converted the Chankazi, who brought down rainstorms of love of God in his Harinam procession to Chankazi's home. That personality who, in the high seat of learning for all the world, defeated the greatest of all scholars, the favorite of Saraswati, Keshava Kashmiri. He was living amongst us as one of us for all these years. And we never understood who he really was until now, that he has left us to become a sannyasi. Will he ever return? And these atheists and these blasphemers, they were brokenhearted. He's going to cut that beautiful hair off of his head. And he's going to live as a beggar. And what about his young wife and his old mother? Immediately, the day he took sannyas, his strategy worked. All the people who escaped his net fell into that net of mercy. They were all repentant and longing for the opportunity to serve him and to surrender their lives to him. Meanwhile, he arrived in Katwa. It was the day of Makara Sankranti, so many, many people were coming to take their bath in Ganga. He approached Keshava Bharati, fell at Keshava Bharati's feet in prostrated obeisances, got up with tears in his eyes and said, "Oh, great soul, I beg you, please give me love of Krishna. Please give me complete absorption in the name, the pastimes, and the beautiful form of Krishna. I desire to take sannyas, to dedicate my body, mind, words, and life in absorption of Krishna." Meanwhile, the people of Katwa, they were very much joyful to see the beautiful form of the Lord. And of course, like everywhere, the Lord began doing Nam Sankirtan and everyone started coming. But when they heard, when they heard that he was going to take sannyas, they became outraged. They couldn't bear it. Kesava Bharati Maharaj, he said to the Lord that, how can I give you sannyas? I've heard, he said, who are you? Who are you? Are you that Nimai Pandit from Navadweep I've heard so many things about? He said, yes, I am he. But what about your widowed mother and your young wife and all your friends? You're only 24 years old. And you're so beautiful, so youthful, at the prime of your life. How can I allow this? It's impossible. I'll only give you sannyas if you get permission from your mother. So the Lord got up and started running back to Navadweep to get her permission. Keshav Bharati called him back. Said, no, no, you are so powerful, you could convince anybody of anything. Meanwhile, the people were so much disturbed. They were crying out, who is the supremely most fortunate woman in all creation to be the wife of this most magnificent, merciful, beautiful personality? And who is the most unfortunate, miserable person in the whole world to be his wife when he leaves her and takes sannyas? And who is that supremely fortunate mother who gives birth to Shatya child? And what will happen to her poor aged heart if he does this? It became like a revolution. They were angry. And they screamed out to Keshav Bharati, you are responsible. If you give him sannyas, we will destroy your ashram, throw it in the river. We will not tolerate this. Keshav Bharati was under the control of Lord Chaitanya. So when the Lord saw everybody so angry like this, he raised his arms. By that time, Mukunda Dutt arrived, and Gadadhar Pandit arrived, and Chandrasekhar Acharya arrived, and Nityananda Prabhu arrived. So the Lord began Nam Sankirtan with his devotees. And seeing his beautiful golden form dancing in ecstatic love, everyone forgot everything about this whole sannyas business. They were drowning in the waves of Lord Chaitanya's beauty and mercy, and they all chanting Hare Krishna. The kirtan went on hour after hour after hour. In fact, the Lord intoxicated everything and everyone, and throughout the entire night, there could be nothing heard except the tumultuous sound of the Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. The Lord then turned to the barber and ordered him, cut my hair. The barber had his razor and his shears in his hand. And looking at Lord Chaitanya's beautiful hair and thinking about cutting it and thinking about this most divine personality becoming a sannyasi, it broke his heart. The barber dropped the razor, dropped the shears, and the only thing he could hold in his hand was his head, which was bowed in grief as he cried. And every time he looked up and saw the Lord's hair, he just put his head in his hand and wept and wept and wept. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, cut my hair. And he'd look up and see that hair, put his hand over his head. It was impossible. But the kirtan, all night long, it went on until the next morning. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu urged that barber, cut my hair. And to please the Lord, he first picked up his shears and cut it. The first cut, as hair fell to the ground, the devotees realized it was happening. That ecstatic all-night kirtan where the Lord mystified everyone from forgetting everything about his sannyas. As soon as the first hairs hit the ground, they realized it's happening. And at that point, nobody could even speak. All they could do is cry. Falling unconscious to the ground as hair after hair was falling. They were falling to the ground with the hairs. Howling, weeping. It was unbearable. Soon everyone was in that state. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair was half shaved, he was in so, while everyone else was grieving, crying, suffering, pangs of separation, the Lord was in ecstasy. He was surrendering his whole life to Krishna in his heart. Everyone was laying there, rolling, crying, screaming. The barber, he could hardly see. There were so many tears coming from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his head half shaven, leaped in the air, raised his arms, and danced in ecstasy, chanting the holy name. Eventually, it was done. His head was shaved. The barber vowed, with these hands, I will never cut another person's hair for the rest of my life. But because his hands became so sweet from performing this service to the Lord, he accepted a new profession as a sweet maker. And everyone really liked his sweets. He was blessed by the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the Ganges to take his bath. He came out. Keshav Bharati Maharaj. He approached Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who gave him the saffron dress of a sannyasi. Then the Lord said, I would like to speak something in your ear. And Keshav Bharati, he said, I want you now to give me love of Krishna. Give me complete absorption in Krishna. Give me complete surrender to Krishna by giving me sannyas. Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, you are the Supreme Lord. You are the guru of all gurus. But you want me to be your guru? If that is your pastime, I will act according to your will. Then the Lord said, I had a dream. In this dream, an exalted personality appeared to me and spoke to me this mantra. Do you like this mantra? And then the Lord spoke a mantra into the ear of Keshav Bharati Maharaj. At that moment, the Lord initiated Kesha Bharati Maharaj. This is the power of the Lord. He can give initiation to his guru. Kesha Bharati Maharaj said, I like this mantra very much. Said, this mantra includes all mantras. This mantra is the ultimate aspiration, the ultimate perfection. It's supreme. In fact, today I will initiate you with this mantra. And then Kesha Bharati Maharaj recited the same mantra that Lord Chaitanya gave to him into the ear of Lord Chaitanya. It became the sannyas mantra of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. If you want to hear it, you have to take sannyas. It's a small price. You can read it in some book, but it will have no potency. Unless it is whispered through the parampara. Then it came time to give him his sannyas name. Kesha Bharati Maharaj was thinking, according to the tradition, I am Bharati, Sampradaya of sannyas, so he should be given the name Bharati. However, he's beyond Bharatis. He's beyond everything. He shouldn't just get an ordinary, standard, traditional sannyas name. He's the Supreme Lord. He's all merciful. What name best expresses his supreme mission? What's in his heart? And then Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he meditated on this. At that moment, the goddess Saraswati entered upon his mouth to give him the exact name that personified his heart, his love, and his mission. Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, you have descended from the spiritual world into this world to liberate people from the sufferings of Maya by giving them Krishna consciousness, by giving them love of God through Krishna consciousness, and by the loud chanting of the holy names. Therefore, on this day, I give you the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Everybody, upon hearing that name coming from the lips of Keshav Bharati Maharaj, everyone started crying out, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Very loudly. One man who was at one time a classmate of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip, who later on became the father of Srinivasacharya, happened to be passing through Katwa on his way to Jajigram to see his father-in-law. And he heard the news that Nimai Pandit was taking sannyas. He ran to the bank of the Ganges. And there he heard Keshav Bharati Maharaj give him this name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And from that day on, he fell to the ground in ecstasy, chanting, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And when he went home, all he could do was say the name of Chaitanya. So they gave him the new name, Chaitanya Das. Where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair felt, in Katwa today, they made a samadhi mandir for his hair. the tree under which Keshav Bharati Maharaj gave him the mantra and the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya is one of the holiest of holy places in this creation. Still there. Then he was given the danda and the kamandalu, the symbols of sannyas at that time, especially. And Lord Chaitanya, hearing his new name and meditating on his mission to fulfill that name, Sri is Radharani, Krishna is Krishna, Chaitanya, consciousness of Radha and Krishna. That now he was free to go everywhere and anywhere to give consciousness of Radha Krishna to the world. He became ecstatic, and with his danda and kamandalu, he leaped in the air and danced and chanted. Meanwhile, Chandrasekhar Acharya performed all the rituals of the yajnas and everything else, and when it was all complete, Lord Chaitanya started dancing, induced everyone to dance and everyone to chant. And soon, the grave, stoic, sannyasi, elderly scholar, Keshav Bharati, forgot all about who he was. He was totally transformed. He was dancing with Lord Chaitanya. They were dancing together. And soon both of them lost their dandas and they didn't even know. They didn't even know where their kamandalas were. All they knew is the holy name of Krishna. As the guru and the disciple embraced while they danced in Nam Sankirtan, all the devotees, all the townspeople were inundated with the sweetness of their love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed, "I will now go to Vrindavan." And Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, "I'm going with you." And everyone in Katva said, "We're going with you also." After some time of dancing and chanting through the forests and the roads along the way, Lord Chaitanya sent everyone back except his own personal associates. Now, Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela are identical. Madhurya Leela is Krishna. Sweet, sweet pastimes of the highest, most intensified, condensified forms of love, spiritual love. And all that sweetness of Krishna's loving pastimes is in Gaur Leela. But it is called Audarya. Because the Lord breaks open all the barriers that confines the sweetest pastimes of Vrindavan to the most confidential devotees, and distributes it to everyone and anyone in this material world who's willing to accept it. Union and separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained within Navadvipa for 24 years and then he left to take sannyas and merge the whole Navadvipa and all of those devotees in an ocean of separation. Why did he leave? To somehow or other conquer the hearts of those who were opposed to him. That is very much parallel to Krishna's Leela. Krishna remained in Vrindavan for about 12 years. Why did he leave Vrindavan? The opposition came into Vrindavan in the form of Putana, Bakasura, Trinavarta, Vatsasura, Pralambasura, Agasura, Aristasura, Keshi. So many asuras came and Krishna slain them. Just as within Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed Jagai Madhai in so many persons. But Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura because there was powerful opposition in the form of Kamsa, Jarasandha, Salva, Dantavakra, Shishupal. He left to deliver them. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip, took sannyas to search out for those demoniac souls, those persons who were opposed to him, to deliver them. And in doing so, to deliver the most fallen, to deliver those who were opposed to him, Krishna left the gopas and gopis in inconceivable separation. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip for the same purpose and left all of his devotees in such separation. But in that separation, the Lord has taught us, is the deepest, highest experience of union. Because where there's necessity, where there's a great feel of need, there is hunger. And the experience of love of God in separation, in that helpless condition of the gopis, of the residents of Navadvip, it goes so deep into the core of the heart. And because Krishna is absolute, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absolute, in that deepest core of the heart, in those feelings of separation, the Lord embraces us. The Lord reciprocates with our love and gives us the highest pleasure. The Lord eventually went to Puri by the request of Sati Mata. He was on his way to Vrindavan, but Nityananda Prabhu redirected him back to Shantipur because he knew the devotees would not be able to maintain their lives if he just left like this. In fact, the day that Lord Chaitanya left, all the devotees decided that we're all going to end our lives by drowning ourselves in the Ganges. And Advaitacharya, he said, I'm going to end my life in the Ganges. And if any of you try to stop me, I'll go in the middle of the night when you're not awake. And everyone said, none of us will stop you. We'll all go with you. They actually went. Advaitacharya just led all devotees, hundreds and hundreds of devotees, and they all got to the Ganges. They were about to go in. This was very serious. The Lord left them. It was too painful to live. But then a voice spoke and said, Advaita, tell all the devotees that you will soon be reunited with Lord Chaitanya again. So he spoke that, and they all met together in Shantipur at the house of Advaita. They had days of kirtan, and Sati Mata again cooked for the Lord. Everyone was happy. except Vishnu Priya. She could not go because a sannyasi, according to tradition, he cannot see his former wife. But she worshipped the shoes, the wooden sandals of Lord Chaitanya. Just as Bharat worshipped the sandals of Ram when he was in exile, Vishnu Priya worshipped the sandals of Lord Chaitanya. And amazingly, Lord Chaitanya had a deity of himself made and presented to Vishnu Priya for her to worship. And he reciprocated her personally through that deity form, where she sang that beautiful song. Everyone sing. Bhaja Gauranga, Kaho Gauranga, Kaho Gaurange Namre, Chechana Gauranga Vaje, Seyamara Prande. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sang this song, Vishnu Priya in separation. For the rest of her life, she would sing this song and beautiful songs to worship the Lord. Sachimata requested that please do not go to Vrindavan. Krishna of Vrindavan is living in Puri is Jagannath. But it is close by, relatively. I will hear on a regular basis your beautiful pastimes there. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to his mother that actually you gave me my birth. I survived this world only because of your love. Whatever devotion to Krishna I have is only because you have given it to me. Somehow or other, I became mad and took sannyas. Now, if you like, I'll stay home. I'll do anything you say. My child, Nimai, people will criticize you, sannyasi, and you're living home with your mother. That will be worse than death for me. Go to Jagannath Puri and make that your home. So on the request of his mother and the devotees, he went to Jagannath Puri. Delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And shortly after, decided to go on a tour of South India. For 2 years he traveled. No word. No communication. He went with Kal Krishnadas. After he returned from Puri, some years had passed. He decided to go to Vrindavan. But on his way, he said, I'm going to visit my mother, the river Ganges, and Sri Navadvip. At that time when he was going, thousands of people, tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people were joining his procession to Vrindavan. Soon there were millions of people traveling with him. He was all attractive. Especially the crowd swelled when he came to Navadvip. In Koladweep. He was at the house of Vidyavachaspati. And when people heard that Nimai Pandit has returned, everyone, not only all the devotees, not only all the people who offended him and offended his devotees who were converted, transformed totally after he took sannyas, they were all coming by the millions. Many, many, hundreds and thousands had to cross the Ganges to get there. Like most people in India, they didn't know how to swim. But they were so eager to see Lord Chaitanya, they forgot that they didn't know how to swim. And they swam across the Ganga. Can anyone swim across the Ganga? Flows very strong. And in those days, there were so many crocodiles in the middle of the Ganga. And others went to boats. Some boatman. The boat might fit 100 devotees. And about 5,000 jumped on the boat. And the boats, somehow or other, some of the boats just totally broke apart. Nothing left. And the people said, and the devotees just gave whatever money they had and said, buy a new boat. And some of them would just grab some empty clay pot and hold it. Because clay pots, when they're empty, they float. And they floated along, kicking their legs across the Ganga. And others took some trunk of a banana tree. And they grabbed onto that and kicked their legs and went across the Ganga. And others just started swimming. And some of the boats, even though there were thousands of people on these little boats, somehow the boat survived. And the boat was crossing. And it made it. There were millions of people at one time swimming across the Ganga by all different methods. And finally they arrived at the house. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out, instructed them all to chant the holy names, and they were all gazing upon him. And then he went back in the house and disappeared. And people wanted darshan. They were crying out to Vachaspati, where is he? Where is he? He was looking all over. I don't know. He's left. You're hiding him. He said, no, I'm not hiding him. Honest, I can't find him. He said, what did you call yourself a Brahmin? Brahmins are supposed to be charitable. You're hoarding him for yourself. What about us? We're more fallen than you. We deserve his mercy more than you. Where is he? Give him. We want him. Where is Lord Chaitanya? He's saying, I don't know. I don't know. He says, sinful. You're sinful. Brahmin, you have a whole big stock of sweets and you won't distribute any. You want to eat them all yourself. And he himself was suffering miserably due to separation, and yet everyone was chastising, condemning, insulting him. He didn't know what to do. Finally, someone comes and whispers in his Vachaspati's ears, Vidya Vachaspati, he's at Madhava Das's house. So he says, I have just heard the news. He's at Madhava Das's house. So then all millions and millions of people go there. And they all wanted to see the Lord. The Lord came out, raised his arms, tears of ecstasy in his eyes, induced everyone to loudly chant Krishna's holy name. How many people there were? All the fields were filled with people. The Ganges was filled with people. There were people everywhere. There was little houses, straw huts, with hundreds and hundreds of people on top of it. But yet it didn't break. It was miraculous. There were trees. Even little betel nut trees, palm trees, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people just climbing up the same tree, hundreds of people on the same branch just crowded in, and not a single branch broke. The Lord fulfilled everyone's desire. They all wanted to have his darshan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out and gave the same message he gave the message he gave the day before he left Navadvip, he gave the same message when he returned years later. If you love me, you will always remember Krishna. Constantly speak about Krishna, worship Krishna, and chant the holy names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya started to dance. Everyone danced. There were thousands and thousands of different kirtan parties going on simultaneously to celebrate the return of the Lord. Now the devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses his prayer. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is playing the role in his own heart of one of the devotees who's seeing Lord Chaitanya when he returns to Kaladweep after years of separation. And he's praying in the same mood as the Brijabasis prayed when they met Krishna in Kurukshetra. Radharani and Gopis, they prayed, Krishna, it is said that the heart and the mind are one, but my mind can never be separated from Vrindavan, because that is the place that gives you the most pleasure. Please save my life by placing your lotus feet once again in Vrindavan. Here in Kurukshetra, you are in your Dwarka Lila. You are dressed with crown, with royal garments. But in Vrindavan, you are wearing just a simple garland of wild flowers with the dress of a little cowherd boy, with the minerals and herbs of Vrindavan decorating your body, and the feather of your favorite peacock in your hair. Here in Kurukshetra there are elephants bedecked with jewels and precious metals. And there are horses and wonderful chariots rattling, making so many sounds. And you are accompanied by queens, ministers, kings, and soldiers. But in Vrindavan, you're on the bank of the river Yamuna, in forest of kadamba trees. The only sound is the buzzing of the bees and the singing of the birds. And your companion is your flute. And the cows and the gopas. I am not experiencing even a fraction of pleasure seeing you here as living as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Please return. You sent message through Uddhava that we should meditate on you. I will always be with you in your heart if you meditate on my lotus feet. Why are you telling us this? We are gopis, we are not yogis. Don't you see? We are drowning in a great ocean of separation. We are being swallowed by the Tim and Gillifish of our aspiration to serve you. We want to serve you. And you're telling us to meditate on your lotus feet? Do you want to kill us? Lord Chaitanya was in this mood during the Ratha Yatra, speaking the words of Radharani in Kurukshetra. Not considering me Do you not remember the forests of Vrindavan? The forest to perform your Raslila? Do you not remember your mother, Yashoda, your father, Nanda Maharaj, the Gopas, the Gopis, the Govardhan Hill, the river Yamuna? Have you forgotten us all? Do you want to kill your mother and father? Please return. Return to Vrindavan and save our lives. We want to see you there where you are most happy. The devotees of Navadvipa had the exact same feelings for Lord Chaitanya, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was expressing them. Please return to Srivasangam on the other side of the Ganga. We don't like to see you in these robes of a sannyasi with shaved head. We want to see you back in Srivasangam with your beautiful lavish hair, silken hair, curling and cascading over your broad yellow golden shoulders, decorated with jasmine flowers. We don't like to see you in this drab dress of a sannyas. We want to see you in your beautiful garments, decorated with the jewelry that Mother Sachi places upon you each day. And this kamandalu and sannyas stick you're carrying. Come back home. Come back where you're happiest, the house of Srivas, with all of your devotees, where you're not sleeping on the ground. You're not traveling place to place as a beggar, but you're with your most intimate, loving associates, day and night, sharing the rasas of Vrindavan, chanting the holy name. This time of the year, Lord Chaitanya accepted the renounced order of life. To fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures, in Vishnu Sahasranam, it describes how the Supreme Lord will accept sannyas, the renounced order of life. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that the Lord will enter into the forest. Why? It is his karunya ras. It is his mood of compassion. The Lord possesses six opulences: aishwaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashashashraya, jnana vairagya yashchaivam, sanam bhaga itingana. Parasaramuni describes who is Bhagavan. One who possesses the six most attractive attributes, eternally and completely: beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, and vairagya, renunciation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed all these six opulences in full. He's not just an incarnation of Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is Krishna, full-fledged. Swayam Bhagavan, with all opulences. And the Lord, when he takes sannyas, he reveals his supreme opulence of renunciation. And why is it an opulence? Because he takes sannyas and gives up what no what no one could possibly give up, only to show mercy to us. You see, on the altars, we worship Lord Chaitanya in his Navadvip Leela with beautiful, long, luxurious hair, decorated with jewels and wonderful garments. Devotees love to see him in this mood as the supreme enjoyer. But he gave it all up to be the supreme renunciate. Why? To beg us to accept Krishna Prem through Krishna Nam. And similarly on Vishwarup Mahotsav, the day that Lord Chaitanya's elder brother Vishwarup took sannyas, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in the case of Gaudiya Math and Mathura, accepted the vows of the sannyasi for the exact same reasons. He left the supreme abode of his home in Vrindavan to become a beggar, to go to foreign lands, to beg people to accept the love of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And how powerful was that act of sacrifice of Lord Chaitanya, of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of the six Goswamis, of Srila Prabhupada. It is because of that sacrifice that we all have received the greatest benediction, the association of the eternal intimate associates of the Lord from the spiritual world. Through hearing about them, through following their instructions, through remembering them. And we have received from them, through their renunciation of love, renunciation motivated only by love and compassion, we have received the opportunity that each and every one of us can perfect our lives in this very life and go back home, back to Godhead. Inconceivable. If we're simply willing to accept it and be serious. On the day of Makar Sankranti, when the sun enters into the Tropic of Capricorn, begins its movement in the northern direction, Bhishma ended his instructions to Yudhisthira Maharaj. He understood this day, this moment is very auspicious for renunciation. He was one of the greatest of brahmacharis. The staunch brahmachari, warrior, statesman, Bhishma, who spoke eloquently chapters of instructions to Yudhisthira Maharaj on every aspect of life. When he saw the sun enter into the sphere where it was going to begin its northern movements, he understood, now is the time. The time to renounce this body. And what was his renunciation? To absorb himself completely in Krishna. Nothing else to be said. He just gazed at Krishna. spoke beautiful prayers, glorifying Krishna's loving relationships with his devotees, the gopas, the gopis, Kunti, the Pandavas. And remembering Krishna's causeless mercy upon him. Fixing his tongue and glorifying Krishna, his eyes and seeing the form of Krishna, and ears, his ears and hearing the glories of Krishna, his nose and smelling the fragrance of Krishna. This is real renunciation. Grihe tako, bane tako, sadahari bole tako. Doesn't matter if you're sannyasi or grihasta. What matters is you're absorbed in Krishna. That is real renunciation. There are mayavadi sannyasis who renounce everything. But they have no devotion to Krishna. A grihasta with 10 children who's absorbed in Krishna is millions of times more fortunate and actually more renounced. Yes, Bhagavad Gita tells, renunciation is not for one who lights no fire or does no work. It's for one who works in a spirit of devotion. The path of bhakti is so powerful. We could perfect the process of renunciation simply by yukta vairagya, for using everything for Krishna. Prabhupada says many times, if husband, wife, children are united in selfless service to Krishna and Vaishnavas, there's no need for sannyas. Why did Lord Chaitanya take sannyas? Why did Prabhupada take sannyas? To beg us to accept Krishna consciousness. That is real renunciation. When Lord Chaitanya approached Kesha Bharati, he said, give me complete absorption in Krishna. That's real renunciation. That is the essence. That is what Lord Chaitanya has given us. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has so perfectly preserved and distributed throughout the world. And these gifts should be meditated upon with very deep and sincere gratitude at this particular time of the year. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.